ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। भगवद्गीता चैप्टर नंबर 8 फर्स्ट श्लोक। अर्जुन उवाच किं तद्ब्रह्म किमध्यात्मम् किं कर्म पुरुषोत्तम अधिभूतं च किं प्रोक्तम् अधिदैवं किमुच्यते। In the seventh chapter, Krishna spoke about his energies, his material energies and spiritual energies. And towards the end of this seventh chapter, Krishna used some terms like Brahma and Adhyatma. If you see the 30th sloka of seventh chapter, means the last sloka of seventh chapter, Krishna used the words Adhibhuta, Adhiyajna. In the 29th shloka, he used the words like Brahman and all. So, seeing this new terminologies, Arjuna asked Krishna, so may I know the meaning of them? That's how the 8th chapter begins. Okay. Krishna answers these questions throughout this chapter. And especially Krishna elaborates the last question, which is, the consciousness at the time of death throughout the chapter. So entire chapter, or like a significant portion of the chapter, is dedicated to dealing with departure, how to attain liberation after departing from one's body. That's why the chapter title is Attaining the Supreme. The subject matter of, or the art of leaving the body and this material world, is very, very vividly described in this chapter. In the first sloka, Arjuna is asking, Kim tad brahma, kim adhyatma? O Krishna, what does it mean when you said brahma? What is Brahman? Then kim adhyatmam? What is adhyatma? Kim karma? What is karma? Purushottama, O Supreme Lord, O best of all purushas, purusha uttama, I have these questions. Then adhibhutam cha kim proktam. And what is adhibhuta? Adhibhuta is, Krishna will say, we'll wait till Krishna defines them. Adhidaivam kim uchyate. What is adhidaiva? These are the questions. In the second shloka also, Arjuna continues to ask his questions. Adhiyagna katham kotra
adhiyagnam katham kotra
dehesmin madhusudana
dehesmin madhusudana
prayana kale cha katham
prayana kale cha katham
gneyosi nityatatma bhihi
gneyosi nityatatma bhihi.
In the first shloka, Arjuna asked about four terminologies: kim tad brahma, kim adhyatma, kim karma, and adhibhutam, and adhidaivam. Five questions he asked. Okay. So these are the five terminologies that Arjuna inquired about in the first shloka. And in the second shloka, he is asking, adhiyagnaha katham kotra. What do you mean by adhiyagna? Dehesmin madhusudana. Oh, madhusudana, oh, killer of the madhu demon. So may I know the meaning of adhiyagna? Then next question is, Dehe asmin. Adhiyagna resides within the deha. How do you identify it? This is the seventh question. While answering these questions, we'll elaborate more. Then eighth question is, Prayana kalecha katham gneyosi niyatatma bhihi. Okay, how to know you at the time of prayana kala? Prayana kala means the time of journey. Prayana is journey. Kala is time, the journey of time. What journey he is speaking about? The journey of a soul after leaving the material body. Basically, Prayanakala indicates death. How does a soul traverse his, continue his further journey after giving up this body? And how do we know you at the time of death? Because only by knowing Krishna and remembering Krishna, we will attain Krishna after giving up the body. The title of the chapter is Attaining the Supreme. So, Arjuna asked these 8 questions in these 2 shlokas. What are the 8 questions? What is Brahma? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adhidaiva? What is Adhiyajna? And what is Adhibhuta? Okay. And how is Adhiyajna identified within the body? And how to attain you or how to know you at the time of giving up the body? Okay, death. These are the 8 questions. And Prabhupada writes about Adhiyajna in the purport, second purport. Lord of sacrifice may refer to either Indra or Vishnu. Vishnu is the chief of all the primal demigods, including Brahma, Shiva and Indra. And Indra is the chief of administrative demigods. Okay, Brahma. And both Indra and Vishnu are worshipped by Yajna performances. There is Indra Yajna mentioned in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada writes something about the word Madhusudana in the second purport. The second shloka, Arjuna asked Krishna 3 questions and he addressed Krishna as Madhusudana. Why Madhusudana? Krishna is the killer of demons. A demon named Madhusudana. And doubts are considered demons in the minds of devotees. Within our minds, if we have so many doubts regarding spiritual subject matters, those doubts are like demons. So Arjuna is requesting Krishna, "Oh Krishna, you have killed Madhu demon. Can you please kill the demons of my doubts?" That's why Arjuna is asking like this. And Prabhupada elaborates on the last word of this last question of Arjuna, Prayanakale. Now the word Prayanakale in this verse is very significant because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. The consciousness of a person at the time of death depends on the consciousness that the person has maintained throughout the life. Okay. Arjuna is very anxious to know of those who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at the final moment? At the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted and the mind is not in a proper condition. Thus, disturbed by the bodily situation, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada quotes Maharaj Kulashekhar Alwar. He says, "Better I die when I am healthy and in proper consciousness. If I continue to live in this body, and if my consciousness gets more and more corrupted, then I may not give up the body in the right consciousness. Better I give up my body in proper consciousness," like that Kulashekhar Alwar prays. So these are questions. Okay. So far we discussed only questions. We just saw how Arjuna asked Krishna to elaborate on these 8 topics. Now Krishna is answering. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Aksharam Brahma Paramam,
Aksharam Brahma Paramam,
Swabhavodhyatma Muchyate,
Swabhavodhyatma Muchyate,
Bhutabhavodhavakaro,
Bhutabhavodhavakaro,
Visargah Karma Samyitah,
Visargah Karma Samyitah,
Aksharam Brahma Paramam. First, Krishna is answering the first question. What was the first question? What is Brahma? Now, depending on the context, the word Brahma takes up different meanings. In some contexts, the word Brahma could indicate the Lord Brahma, demigod Brahma, the secondary creator of this universe. So, Brahma could mean Lord Brahma sometimes, depending on the context. And in another context, Brahma word could mean the spirit soul. Sometimes Brahman could mean the Supreme Lord, Supreme Brahman, Parabrahman. Sometimes Brahman could mean just the spirit, spiritual. Something spiritual is called Brahman. ब्रह्मार्पणं ब्रह्महविर् ब्रह्माग्नौ ब्रह्मणाहुतं ब्रह्मैवतेन गन्तव्यं ब्रह्मकर्म समाधिना. देयर प्रभुपाद क्लियरली राइट्स हियर द वर्ड ब्रह्म इंडिकेट्स स्पिरिचुअल. ओके, व्हेन यू ऑफर स्पिरिचुअल ओब्लेशंस इनटू स्पिरिचुअल फायर द आउटपुट विल बी स्पिरिचुअल. लाइक दैट वी एलाबोरेटली डिस्कस्ड दैट इन द फोर्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता. सो ब्रह्मन कुड मीन जस्ट स्पिरिचुअल. Something which is spiritual in nature could be called as Brahman. Okay, and sometimes even the material world is also described to be Brahma. Okay, so it all depends on the context. But in this context, Krishna says, "What is Brahma? Aksharam Brahma Paramam." This is the meaning of the word Brahma. Aksharam means that which is indestructible is Brahma. So, kim tad Brahma? That's the question. Aksharam Brahma Paramam is the answer. Okay. The indestructible, transcendental, living entity is the Brahman. And that living entity who resides within the material body is different from the body. This is material body. And inside that there is spirit soul. And that spirit soul is indestructible. That indestructible spirit soul or the jiva is called Brahma. You are not Lord Brahma. You are a living entity. That's what Krishna meant. Brahma indicates the jiva. Fine. Next. Svabhavo adhyatma muchyate. The second question was adhyatma. What is adhyatma? Krishna answers again in one phrase. Svabhava is adhyatma. Svabhava means what? The nature that we have acquired. The particular tendencies or proclivities. The eternal nature that we have acquired, or eternal means long term nature, okay, because of our so many experiences in this world, we have created so many impressions and certain tendencies, okay, and these impressions will govern the living entity through his subtle body, and that will influence our activities. Okay, next word is karma. We'll come to karma. So you do your karma based on your swabhava. Your activity is dependent on your nature. You are given a task. You will perform that task according to your nature. And if he is given the same task, he will perform the same task in a little different way according to his nature. He may be fast, he may be slow. He may be aggressive, he may be very mild. Okay. Or he may immediately do it, you may just do it very coolly. Maybe tomorrow, kal kar lenge. We have time. Like that. So different people have different natures. So here's adhyatma means swabhava. Swabhava means the impressions that accompany the jiva and govern the body. Next. Bhuta bhavod bhavakaro visargaha karma samgitaha. Next he is defining the word karma. What is karma? Karma is the fruitive activity of the jiva. Karma also has some multiple meanings. Sometimes karma is, basic meaning of karma is an activity is called karma. Sometimes karma is action. Sometimes karma is a specific, particular, prescribed action for you according to your varna. Okay, that is also called karma. Third, karma can mean fruitive activity. That activity that you do with a desire to attain some result. That is called fruitive activity. Whether it is prescribed or not, that's a different thing. Fruitive activity is also called karma. And sometimes karma can mean the reaction to an action. So karma has multiple meanings. One, action. Two, fruitive action. Three, prescribed action. Four, reaction to an action. Or fifth meaning could be the whole chain of actions and reactions. Karma. Here Krishna says karma is bhuta bhavod bhavakaro visargaha karma samgitaha. So the fruitive activities of the jiva that lead to the transmigration from one body to another body. It's not just simple plain meaning of activity. It is that kind of activity, fruitive activity, that leads one from one body to another body. Okay. So, bhuta bhava udbhavakaraha, producing more and more material bodies. Okay, that is karma. Fine. Visargaha. Visarga is creation of bodies. So, your activities today will create a body for you tomorrow. Okay. Your studies in college today will create a career for you in future. Similarly, your activities in your life today will create a body for you in the next life. Okay. So, that kind of activities are called karma. Okay. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Brahman is indestructible and eternally existing. Okay, I elaborated on this while describing the shloka. Now you see this. In the second paragraph, Prabhupada writes, according to his identification with material or spiritual nature, he receives a material or spiritual body. If one performs spiritual activities, then one will attain a spiritual body. If one performs material activities, then one will attain a material body. In the material nature, he may take a body from any of the 84 lakh species of life, but in spiritual nature, he has only one body. In material nature, he is manifested sometimes as a man, demigod, animal, bird, beast, etc. according to his karma. To attain material heavenly planets and enjoy their facilities, he sometimes performs sacrifices, yajna. They are called karmakandic sacrifices. Okay. But the real yajna is that which pleases the Lord. Yajnarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karmabandhanaha. So, now, an yajna could be a material activity also, an yajna could be a spiritual activity also. So, whether an activity is material or spiritual depends on your own consciousness, your own intentions behind performing that activity. Okay, so apparently somebody's activity may seem to be spiritual, but he may have material consciousness. And apparently somebody's activities may seem material, but he has very elevated, exalted spiritual consciousness. So, Krishna evaluates whether our activities are spiritual or material depending on our consciousness. Okay, but whether consciousness is good or bad, if we happen to get an opportunity to perform a spiritual activity that is ultimately within the realm of service to Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas, we will eventually uplift our consciousness. We don't have to wait till we completely purify our consciousness before we begin service to Krishna. By rendering service to Krishna, by engaging your senses in service of Krishna, you will eventually purify your consciousness. Okay, and with that purified consciousness, we can continue to engage in Krishna's seva. So, Krishna's service will purify our consciousness. Prabhupada further writes in the next paragraph. In the process of sacrifice, the living entity makes specific sacrifices to attain specific heavenly planets and consequently reaches them. When the merit of sacrifice is exhausted, the living entity descends into this world. Now, there are some karmas that will elevate you to heavens. And you, by doing those karmas, you accumulate pious credits and you will attain the heaven. And once the pious credits are exhausted, you fall down to this material realm. So, in that way, this karma is elaborated. And we have discussed a lot about this karma. Okay. So, Krishna has defined three terminologies so far. First is Brahma. What is Brahma? The jiva, the living entity, the indestructible living entity within the material body is called Brahma. Next, he defined what? Adhyatma. What is the meaning?
Svabhava.
Svabhava is Adhyatma. Adhyatma refers to the nature that is acquired by the living entity because of acquiring a lot of impressions in his material dealings, material interactions. Then third is karma. Karma is the fruitive activity that leads the conditioned soul to transmigrate from one material body to another material body. Okay? Karma is fruitive activity that causes transmigration. Adhyatma is the nature, particular nature or proclivity acquired by the living entity. Brahman is jiva. Fine? Three things are done. Fourth sloka. Adhibhutam ksharo bhavaham purushascha adhi daivatam adhiyagnoham evatra dehe deha bhrtamvara adhibhutam ksharo bhavaha. Next, he is defining the fourth terminology, adhibhuta. What is adhibhuta? Kshara. Kshara means constantly changing. When he is describing Brahman, he said akshara. But when he comes to adhibhuta, he says kshara. Adhibhuta basically refers to these material elements, physical elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and their products. Now, this body is a product of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Okay? So, it's a combination of so many material elements, and this will not continue to exist forever. This will collapse one day. This will deteriorate one day. And even while it is living also, it is subjected to so many diseases and damages. Okay? It's not eternal body. So, that adhibhuta refers to that destructible material body. Okay? Our products are bodies made of material nature. Okay? So that is called adhibhuta. Kshara bhavaha. While jiva, the living entity residing within the body, is spiritual, the body itself is material. Okay? Purushascha adhidaivatam. Next, he defines the fifth question, fifth term. That is adhidaiva. Adhidaiva is the purushascha. He says, Virat Purusha, or the gigantic universal form which includes all the demigods and planets, is called adhidaiva. Adhidaiva refers to the Supreme Lord in his material form as Virat Purusha, Virat Rupa. Okay? So, Prabhupada writes the translation like this. O best of the embodied beings, the physical nature which is constantly changing is called adhibhuta. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods like those of sun and moon, is called adhidaiva. Adhidaiva refers to the demigods, and all the demigods put together form the Virat Purusha. All the demigods are considered to be limbs of Virat Purusha. So that way. So Virat Purusha is a gigantic universal form which includes the demigods and planetary systems also. Okay, that is adhidaiva. Next question is adhiyagna. Sixth question. Adhiyagnoham evatra dehe deha bhartamvara. Adhiyagna refers to the Paramatma. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the super soul in the heart of every embodied being, is called adhiyagna, the Lord of Sacrifice. So adhiyagna is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Adhipati, adhishtana devata of yagnas, is adhiyagna. He is the super soul. He is the Supreme Lord Krishna in his partial representation. He is the enjoyer of sacrifices. Okay? Adhiyagna is understood? That is super soul. Prabhupada elaborates these three points in the purport. The super soul gives the individual soul an opportunity to act freely and witnesses his activities. The functions of all these different manifestations of the Supreme Lord automatically become clarified for the pure Krishna conscious devotee engaged in transcendental service to the Lord. The gigantic universal form of the Lord is called adhidaiva, and contemplated by a neophyte devotee. We discussed more about universal form, and we will discuss even more in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Basically, there are some people who cannot believe in anything which is beyond their sense perception. If you tell them God is there, then they will say, where is God? I can't see him. Can you show me God? Next question is, you should have faith, then only you can see. But if he is there, he should be seen by me also. Okay, to convince such people, an imaginary conception of God is presented in the form of universal form. So, this material world is a manifestation of Krishna's material energy. And energy is non-different from the energetic person. Energy has no existence without the energetic person. And energetic person has no meaning without energy. Thus, energy and energetic person cannot exist independent of each other in one sense. In that sense, both are same. Okay. At the same time, they are different also. Energy continues to operate while the energetic person is relaxing. So, Prabhupada often gives this example of recording. The recording of Prabhupada is his energy. it continues to exist, and you hear from that. And who is speaking? Prabhupada is speaking. Mm. But recorder is speaking, MP3 player is speaking. Okay, not Prabhupada. But it's Prabhupada's voice, so it is Prabhupada who is speaking. Okay. So, we need to understand that energy and energetic person are non-different, in the sense that energy is dependent on the person and energy is representing the energetic person. At the same time, there is difference. The energetic person may sit there and then continue to do many other things, while his energy is also working in different ways. That way, they are different also. Simultaneously, one and different. That is Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. We discussed it elaborately in the previous sessions also. But here, to convince a neophyte person that this material world is non-different from the Lord, to communicate to a person that the Supreme Lord exists, a God exists, you kind of map various elements in this universe with the limbs of God. These mountains are Krishna's bones. These trees are the Supreme Lord's hairs. Okay. So in this way, the sun, this moon, they are the Lord's eyes. So you take different elements of the universe and describe them to be the limbs, the bodily limbs of the Lord. That is called universal form. Thus, a neophyte person, a not so spiritually advanced person, he will understand the existence of God by seeing what he can see with his naked eyes. Okay, you are able to see mountain. This mountain is basically bones of God. These trees are hairs of God. So that way he will understand the existence of God. That's why Prabhupada writes here, the gigantic universal form of the Lord is called Adhidaiva, is contemplated by the neophyte who cannot approach the Supreme Lord in his manifestation as super soul. There are some people who meditate on Adhiyajna. Okay. But there are some people who cannot manage that. So for them Adhidaiva is there. Adhidaiva is the universal form. Adhiyajna is the Paramatma, super soul. But we are into Bhagavan directly. We worship Krishna, who is the source of super soul and universal form both. That Krishna will tell in the next couple of verses. Okay. The neophyte is advised to contemplate the universal form or Virat Purusha, whose legs are considered the lower planets. Now, these lower planets are his legs. Higher planets are his upper parts of the body. So, like the different planetary systems are conceived to be parts of universal form. Different demigods are considered to be part of universal form. So, basically all the elements of the material universe are conceived to be the material form of the Lord. Thus, you try to connect to a higher power through what you can see with your senses directly, what you can perceive with your senses. So, Krishna completed up to Adhiyajna. We will revise again. First term, Brahma. What is Brahma? Jiva. Next is Adhyatma. Swabhava. Next is Karma. Fruitive activity. Okay. Adhibhuta.
Body.
Adhibhuta.
Adhibhuta. Body. Manifest.
Prakriti. Bodily elements. The material nature. Okay. Adhidaiva. Virat Purusha. Adhiyajna. Super soul. Fine. So, six terms are defined. Now, fifth shloka. One more thing is, Adhiyajna is also mentioned, right? Adhiyajnoham evatra dehe deha bhratamvara. He answered the seventh question also. So, he is the super soul. And in the heart of every embodied being, he is there. Adhiyajna, the super soul, resides within the hearts of all beings. Okay. Dehe deha bhratamvara. Represented as a super soul in the heart of every embodied being. So, thus he answered seven questions. And what is the eighth question?
Prayana kale.
How to know that Adhiyajna at the point of death? The subject matter of the rest of the chapter is answer to this question. Seven questions are answered in two slokas. Eighth question is answered in the rest of the chapter. Fifth shloka. Krishna says, अन्तकाले च मामेव स्मरन् मुक्त्वा कलेवरम् यः प्रयाति समद्भावम् याति नास्त्यत्र संशयः अन्तकाले च मामेव. अन्तकाल मीन्स् एट् द टैम् आफ् डेत्. अन्तकाल प्रयाणकाल बोधर् सेम्. अन्तकाले च माम् एव. कृष्ण सेस् इफ् यु रिमेम्बर् मी एट् द टैम् आफ् डेत् माम् एव मीन्स् रिमेम्बर् मी ओन्ली मामेव स्मरन् मुक्त्वा कलेवरं. कलेवर इस् बाडी. मुक्त्वा मीन्स् गिविङ्ग् अप्. एट् द टैम् आफ् डेत् इफ् यु गिव् अप् युवर् बाडी बै रिमेम्बरिङ्ग् कृष्ण ओन्ली वट् विल् हेपन्. कृष्ण सेस् यः प्रयाति समद्भावं सच् अ पर्सन् विल् सर्टेन्ली अटेन् मै नेचर् मै एबोर्ड् my spiritual kingdom. Okay, yati nasti atra samshayah. In this there is no doubt. There is absolutely no doubt that we will attain Krishna, we will reach the lotus feet of Krishna, we will enter Goloka Dham if we remember Krishna with love and affection at the time of giving up our body. Okay, so Prabhupada writes in this verse the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed, because Krishna is describing about Krishna consciousness and remembering Krishna at the time of death. But that is possible only when we remember Krishna throughout our lives. If one does not remember Krishna during one's lifetime, what is the possibility that one remembers Krishna at the time of death and attains Krishna's kingdom? Not sure. Just like a person may do, a student may not study well throughout the academic year. In the final exam, how will he pass? How will he graduate? How will he go to the next semester or next grade? It's not possible. Similarly, our next life is dependent on how we leave this body in this lifetime. And how we leave this body depends on how we live within this body. Okay? The art of living we need to master to actually exhibit the art of leaving. Okay, art of living and leaving, both are important. Okay, in this verse the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also purest of the pure. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for impure soul. Krishna says, okay, remember me and come back to me. You may make a plan. Okay, at the time of death, I should remember. You will note it down. I will not forget. I will note down. I will write in my laptop. I will put a reminder in my phone. Okay, that I should remember at the time of death. Point is, when will death arrive, we are not sure. At that time, we should be able to remember. So your death time is not fixed. Even if it is fixed, if you don't have the practice of remembering Krishna throughout your life, at the time of death you cannot remember Krishna. Even if you know that time of death. Just like throughout the academic year, one does not study, even if the exam date is announced. Okay, Muhurta is also there. Okay, 10 to 12 is your exam on so and so date, March 21st. 10 a.m. is your exam. Date is announced, right? Question paper is given also. Still he cannot write if he has not studied. So that's why you don't have any utopian ideas or don't have some imaginary thoughts that I can remember Krishna at the time of death and throughout the life I can do whatever I want. That is illusion. The way we give up the body is fully dependent on the way we live our life during the during our lifetime. So therefore one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. Prahlad Maharashi says, kaumaram acharyat prajnah dharman bhagavatan iha. This bhagavata dharma or bhakti yoga must be practiced from the childhood. Right from the childhood, if one has the practice of worshipping Krishna, chanting his holy names, etc., etc., then it's very easy One can effortlessly remember Krishna at the time of death. Someone who is attending the classes nicely and studying very nicely throughout the academic year, he doesn't have to put so much of effort to prepare for the final exam. Already he is aware of all the things, he may just have to revise once and then do it. Okay. Now, in the Bhagavatam, first canto, 18th chapter, 4th sloka. Nautama shloka vartanam jushatam tatkathamritam syatsam bhramontakalepi smaratam tatpadam bhujam. Na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamritam. There, Suta Goswami says, one who has dedicated his entire life to glorify Krishna, for the topics of Krishna, for the service of Krishna, such a person will not run into any misconceptions or confusions or bewilderments at the time of leaving the body. He will have a very clear consciousness. Smaratam tat padam bhujam, one will be able to remember the lotus feet of Krishna with clear consciousness, with an undeviated mind at the time of death, provided that person lives a Krishna conscious life throughout. So our departure, our consciousness at the time of leaving the body depends on the consciousness that we have maintained throughout the life. That's why practice of Krishna consciousness is very important. In this sloka, Krishna speaks about the last thoughts that we have. That does not mean only that last thought is important and all the thoughts that we have throughout the lifetime are not important. That is illusion to think like that. So our thoughts throughout the lifetime will influence our thoughts at the time of death. So one should be very cautious. And one may not think, we have a long life. I am just in 20s or 30s. I may die at 70s or 80s. I still have 30, 40 years, right? Next 30 years I will do all nonsense. At least last 10 years I will do the needful. I will intensify my Krishna consciousness. One may think like that. We are not sure. One may die at the age of 50 only. Or the last 10 years that you have allocated for pure Krishna consciousness, okay? There also you might find so many distractions. Or till you reach that period, you have underwent a lot of experiences. The memories of these experiences may bother you in that last few years that you have dedicated, you have allocated out of your own imagination. So, if one is really serious about spiritual life and giving up this material world and entering spiritual world, it's one's responsibility to live a proper Krishna conscious life throughout. That's why Prabhupada says, therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be tolerant as a tree, Taroriva Sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Now, there may be so many obstacles while practicing Krishna consciousness during one's lifetime. So far we have emphasized that at the time of death, if you remember Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. But for that, you need to practice Krishna consciousness throughout the lifetime. But throughout the lifetime, if you try to practice Krishna consciousness, there could be so many distractions and obstacles. Prabhupada gives the formula there. Taroriva sahishnuna. You should have tolerance. You should be able to tolerate all these provocations, temptations. Shaknoti haiva yashodham prakshari ravimokshana kama krodhot bhavam vegam sayukta hasa sukhi naraha. You remember this shloka? Which chapter? Fifth chapter. Gita. Shaknoti haiva yashodham prakshari ravimokshana. Till the time of death, the sensual distractions, kama krodhot bhavam vegam, the vega, the urge of lust and anger will continue to exist till the time of death. It's not easy, please understand, it's not very easy to have very pure consciousness, spiritual consciousness at the time of death. because till the time of death, the material desires will bother us. The sensual urges, the urge of lust and anger will continue to exist till the time we give up the body. So we have to keep on fighting with these senses till the time of death. Okay, so continue fighting. Continue to tolerate the temptations, provocations in this material world. Then it is possible. Again, just after two lines, again Prabhupada writes, nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Within one purport, within just two, three lines gap, Prabhupada quoted Hare Krishna Mahamantra twice. Very important shloka, very important phenomena for our spiritual life. If we are aspiring to enter the spiritual realm, giving up this material body, one should practice Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna throughout one's life. Then only one will be assured that, okay, you will have a better spiritual destination. Very important. Then Krishna spoke specifically about remembering him at the time of death in the fifth shloka. In the sixth shloka, Krishna will speak about the general law of destination at the time of death. If you remember me, you will come to me. If you remember me at the time of death, you will come to me. That's what Krishna said in fifth shloka. What if I remember something else at the time of death? Yeah, you will attain that. Simple. It's the general law of death that he says in the sixth shloka. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam,
yam yam vapi smaran bhavam,
tyajatyante kalevaram,
tyajatyante
kalevaram, tam tamevaiti kaunteya, sada tad bhava bhavitah, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, whatever one remembers, tyajati ante kalevaram, at the time of giving up one's body, at the end of one's life, whatever you remember, tam tam evaiti kaunteya, you will surely attain sada tad bhava bhavitaha. You will attain a state that is similar to the object of your thought. Constantly what you are thinking about, you will attain that. There are so many demoniac people who thought about Krishna throughout their lives with an inimical mood, with some envious thoughts. They attained Krishna. They attained at least impersonal liberation. Kamsa was constantly remembering Krishna in fear. Shishupal was constantly remembering Krishna in envy. Okay, so they also attained Krishna. Some attained Sarupya Mukti, some attained Sahaja Mukti, some Mukti or the other. They attained some aspect of Krishna. Okay, but if our thoughts are not dovetailed with Krishna throughout one's life, if they are dovetailed with matter, how will we... where will we end up? That's the question. You will end up the place where you are most attached to. So one has to be extremely careful in taking in thoughts or impressions in one's mind. If our mind is constantly exposed to or bombarded with spiritual sound vibrations, then there is possibility of attaining a spiritual destination. But if we expose our minds and hearts and bodies to material impressions, then that will create a long-lasting impression on the soul, and one will continue to transmigrate in this material world for a longer time. Human life is the best opportunity to transcend those thoughts, to give up those materialistic ways of living and dedicate oneself to Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada is repeatedly urging. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. Whatever you do, you will attain God at the end of life. It's not necessary. Now one may quote Ajamil's example and say, oh, Ajamil just chanted Narayan at the time of death. Throughout his life he was doing so many sinful activities. He is my Mahajan. I will follow in his footsteps. I will enjoy sanskritification throughout my life. At the end of my life, I will remember Narayana. And I already told some of my friends to remind me. Even if I forget, they will come and remind me. When I am lying on deathbed, my friends or my relatives will come and tell, you should chant Hare Krishna, you should chant Narayana, then you will go to Narayana. Ajamil is a very special case. Actually, Ajamil chanted Narayana during his lifetime also, not only at the time of death. He named his son Narayana. He may be just a very small boy, 2-3 years old. And he was constantly chanting the name Narayana, Narayana, Narayana with great love and affection. He was indicating his son, that's there. But he was chanting Narayana with love and affection for quite some time before his death. And at the time of death, he was again chanting Narayana in a helpless state, in anxiety. So chanting the name Narayana with affection repeatedly and chanting the name Narayana in a helpless state of mind with full focus, with full focused consciousness, concentration, that purified him completely. Because the boy, he was indicating the boy, but the boy was not Narayana, but the name was Narayana. Okay? He named his boy Narayana. The name Narayana is the personality Narayana, but the boy is not Narayana. So he was purified by such a chanting. And not only this, Ajamil never chanted the holy name Narayana to counteract his sinful reactions. Second, he did not commit any sinful activities thinking that my chanting of Narayana will take care of it. He did not commit these two offenses. And by the way, Ajamil was not immediately taken back to Godhead. After he had that conversation, between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas, Yamadutas left, Vishnudutas also left. Ajamil continued to remain in that body, in this material world. And for 12 years he chanted Hare Krishna or whatever, he did his spiritual practices. And after 12 years he went back to Godhead. He practiced bhakti. He was not immediately taken back to Godhead. He was given another opportunity to practice. And we already have that opportunity to practice now. Okay? Just like he practiced bhakti for 12 years after being released by Vishnudutas. You also practice bhakti. Next 12 years at least. Okay. So Ajamil's case should not be misunderstood. He chanted Narayana at the time of death and he went back to Godhead. No, he did not go back to Godhead immediately. He was only given another chance. And whatever holy names he chanted with affection and anxiety, with concentration, and that purified him completely of all sins. But he also has to acquire love for Krishna. Okay, not only your cup should not have any contamination. Now this cup is very clean. It does not have any dust and all. This is not sufficient to quench my thirst. There should be something inside also. You put some drink or milk or some milkshake or at least water so that I can drink. Just cleaning the cup is not sufficient. Cup should have something to quench my thirst. Okay. So just a clean consciousness of not having any material desires or sinful activities is not sufficient. We should have spiritual desires, spiritual longing, love and affection for Krishna. That will make one go back to Godhead very effortlessly. So ultimately we are meant to love Krishna, meant to serve Krishna. Okay, Prabhupada writes here in the purport, of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. Again, Prabhupada says, therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. In the previous purport, Prabhupada quoted Hare Krishna mantra twice, now again once. So basically, Prabhupada is saying, this is how you should live life, by chanting Hare Krishna, by remembering Krishna. Then you can be assured that you can go back to Godhead. Next, 7th shloka. Krishna is concluding. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Mamanusmara yudhyacham.
Mamanusmara yudhyacham.
Mayarpitamano buddher.
Mayarpitamano buddher.
Mame vaishyasya samshayaham.
Mame vaishyasya
samshayaham. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. Therefore, he is saying therefore means he is concluding whatever he said in the previous two slokas. In the 5th sloka he said, you remember me at the time of death, you will come to me. In the 6th sloka he said, whomever you remember, you will attain that state. Okay, you are remembering heaven, okay, you will go to heaven. You are remembering some apsaras in the heaven, okay, you will attain them in the heaven. Or you remember some forefathers, okay, you will attain them. You remember a lot of wealth, your own house, again you will take birth in front of your house as a dog or a cat or a cockroach. Again you will see that house. So like that, whatever is there in your mind at the time of death, that you will attain. So therefore, Krishna is concluding, tasmat. Sarveshu kaleshu. In the previous loka he said anta kalecha mameva smaran. Now he says sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha. Krishna is releasing things in stage by stage. 5th sloka he said anta kalecha mameva smaran. Remember me at the time of death. But in the 7th sloka he says sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara. Always remember me. Yudhyacha, and do your fight. In Arjuna's case, it is fighting while remembering Krishna. In our case, it could be something else. Different people have different duties. While performing your prescribed duties throughout your lifetime, you must remember Krishna. When? Sarveshu kaleshu. Tasmat sarveshu. Always try to remember Krishna. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Okay. And mayarpita mano buddhir, offer your mind to Krishna, buddhi, intelligence to Krishna. Mind means your thinking and feeling and willing should be centered on Krishna. Buddhi means your intelligence, planning and scheming. All this should also be centered on Krishna's seva. Mayarpita mano buddhir, mame vaishyasi asamshayaha, you will attain me without doubt. So, 7th shloka is also important, 5th shloka is also important. 7th shloka is speaking about art of leaving. Living. 5th shloka is art of leaving. What is art of leaving? Remembering Krishna. What is art of leaving? Remember Krishna. Throughout the life you remember Krishna. At the end of life you remember Krishna. And you will attain Krishna. Anyone is not sufficient. In fact, 7th shloka is more relevant for us. Because if you follow the 7th shloka nicely, 5th shloka will automatically happen. If you stop studying 8th chapter at 5th shloka only, at the end of my life I should remember Krishna. So, I don't have to do anything else. Whole life I can do anything. Okay? I can do all sense gratification. If you don't stop there, read till the conclusion. That's why Krishna said in the 7th shloka, he began the shloka saying, therefore, tasmat. He's concluding the topic. He began the topic in the 5th shloka. But he's concluding the topic in the 7th shloka. For you to reach the stage of 5th shloka, you should follow the 7th shloka. Okay? Fine? Always remember me. The instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The law does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One should continue them. But think about Krishna. The gopis are always thinking about Krishna. Yadohane vahanane mathanopalepa prenkankhanarbharuditokshana marjanadau gayanti chaina manurakta dhyoshrikanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayanaha. While they are milking the cows or threshing the grains or putting cow dung lep on their floors or making rangolis or swinging on swings or taking care of their crying babies, or doing whatever household activities like sweeping and sprinkling water in front of their courtiers, whatever they may be doing, they're constantly thinking about Krishna. Gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyo shrukantiyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana. And it's not just the practice. Oh, how long I should do this austerity of remembering Krishna? How long I should just remember him? Till the end of life you should remember him. Then you will go back to Godhead. No more remembrance. How long I should study these books? Till the final exam. Okay. Once the final exam is over, you don't have to see these books at all. Forget it. Okay. So, that happens in academic circles, not spiritual circles. You practice remembrance of Krishna so that you perfect remembrance of Krishna and continue to remember Krishna for the rest of eternity. The gopis are perfected beings, nitya siddhas, but they will remember Krishna always. It's not their practice. They are not forcing their minds to focus on Krishna. Their minds are effortlessly going towards Krishna. Mat guna sruti matrena mai sarva guhashaye manogati ravichhinna yatha gangambha sombudau. The way Ganges river flows towards Krishna despite so many obstacles. Similarly, a devotee's mind constantly thinks of Krishna despite so many distractions and deviations in this world. That's the nature of a devotee's mind. Okay. So, we are not at that stage of spontaneously getting attracted to Krishna's qualities and constantly thinking about Krishna. Therefore, we have to practice remembrance. And the best practice is to chant the holy names every day. Okay. That's why Krishna says, it's not very easy to think of me always. So, you should practice. Each shloka, he emphasizes on practice. Specifically, he says, do abhyasa. Abhyasa yoga yuktena,
abhyasa yoga yuktena,
cetasananyagaminam, paramam
purusham
divyam,
yati parthanu chintayan.
Abhyasa yoga yuktena, please practice to meditate on me. Cetasa ananyagamina, with undeviated mind and consciousness. So, if your mind is already undeviated, where is the practice there? Practice here means, when the mind is getting deviated, try to bring back the mind and focus on the mantra. Focus on Krishna. That is the practice here. Practicing with an undeviated mind means, practice it by bringing back the deviating mind. Yam, what is that shloka? Yato nishchalati tatah chanchalam asthiram. Mind is asthira, unsteady, fickle, restless. It just goes here and there. Whenever it goes, you just bring it back. That is called practice, abhyasa yoga. Again, try to dovetail it in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayan. Paramam purusham divyam means upon me, the supreme transcendental person. Whom should you focus your mind on? Parama Purusha, the supreme personality of Godhead, not the Purusha, so-called Purushas of this world. Divyam, he is transcendental person. He is Parama and he is Divya. Yati Parthanu Chintayan attains me by such constant thinking of me. So, Krishna did not leave any room for ambiguity. In the fifth shloka, he said, basically, fifth shloka onwards, he is answering the question, how to attain Krishna at the time of death. In the fifth shloka, he says, you remember me, you will come to me. Sixth shloka, he gives a generic understanding, whomever you remember, you will attain them. Seventh shloka, he says, to attain me at the time of death, you should try to remember me throughout your life. How is it possible? Eighth shloka, he says, practice. Practice with an undeviated mind. Whenever your mind is remembering something else other than me, bring that mind back and put it on me. No, I should remember Krishna, not this. Like that. It's easier said than done. But we have to practice. We are all practitioners. We are all sadhakas. We have to follow vidhis. We are vaidhi sadhaka bhaktas, right? So we have to follow the vidhi, the rule, that we should try to remember Krishna. When we are remembering so many other things, we should realize that I'm thinking of something else. Bring it back, bring it back. That practice will go on. Sensual distractions are there. We have to tolerate them, as Prabhupada says in the purport. Again, Prabhupada says, one's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. Again, by this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue and mind are engaged. Tongue is engaged in chanting, mind is engaged in remembering, ear is engaged in hearing what you are chanting. Okay? This mystic meditation is very easy to practice. The other mystic meditations are meditating on the super soul, keeping your back erect and then having half-closed eyes and trying to imagine the form of the super soul, this and it's a very tedious thing. Ashtanga Yoga is not practical for Kali Yuga people. But chanting Hare Krishna is easier. That too in the association of devotees is much easier. When we sleep, somebody will wake up. You have a habit to sleep during chanting. Sit next to a devotee. Don't sit alone. Okay. The mystic meditation is very easy to practice and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the supreme enjoyer. One example is given. Caterpillar always thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. If an insect, if a non-human living entity can attain a form by constant meditation on that form, why can't a human being attain the spiritual realm by constantly meditating on Krishna? Prabhupada uses this example. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives, we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Okay. So, we completed 8 shlokas. I think we can stop here. Tomorrow, we will continue from 9th shloka. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.